The term tax modernization implies something is obsolete or outdated with the tax system as it stands. And that's exactly what Utah's governor and others have been trying to say. There's an opportunity in the current legislative session to update Utah's approach to sales taxes in particular. This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bomas. What's the problem with Utah's tax system as it stands? It's letting too much of the state's economy get away with paying nothing. That was the argument Governor Gary Herbert made in his State of the State address opening the 2019 general session of the legislature.
The general fund that pays for the core governmental functions that benefit everyone, such as public safety, courts, corrections, transportation, social services, and Medicaid, is generated from a sales tax that captures a narrowing base of the state's economic activity. For example, we still tax the sale of buggy whips, even though they don't generate much revenue. Meanwhile, an Uber or Lyft ride is tax exempt. Indeed, Utah has seen the nation's second largest decline in taxable sales as a portion of consumer spending. In 1980, 70% of the economy was part of the general fund tax base. Today, it's only 40%, and that number continues to shrink. If the sales tax base of statewide economic activity were represented by a group of 10 friends who meet at a restaurant for dinner, when the bill came in 1980, 7 of the 10 helped pick up the tab. But today, when the bill comes, only 4 pay for it, and 6 of them walk out without paying a dime. Common sense tells us that this is patently unfair. And if these trends continue, it is absolutely unsustainable. So good tax policy requires broadening the base so that everyone pays their fair share. And good tax policy requires lowering the rate so that everyone pays less.
In Utah Foundation's research report, The Everyday Tax, Sales Taxation in Utah, published last year, research analyst Christopher Collard pointed out that the state has been able to rely on sales taxes, but the revenue just hasn't kept up with either the state's growing economy or its growing needs.
Every year we've brought in more sales tax revenues. There's been more dollars every year. But once you account for inflation, once you account for population growth, like, it's been relatively stable. And that's just fine as long as the cost of government services also remains relatively stable. But when these are the funds covering higher education and the funds covering Utah's the medical services provided by the state, like, those are both notorious for rising faster than inflation.
And Collard says there is ample precedent for major revisions in Utah's sales tax structure since it was first enacted in the 1930s.
This isn't the first time that this has happened. Back in the 1950s or the 1960s, state legislators again revisited the sales tax and made it applicable to more transactions than what it was originally applicable to in the beginning. As new products and services come out, the State Tax Commission continually has to revise and determine what they think is taxable and what they think is not taxable. For example, you know, we have many services that have come out in the past 10 years. Such as video streaming services, and the state tax commission has had to look at that and try and figure out where it falls under current state law. And state legislature has periodically kind of looked at things and occasionally offered small amendments to clarify what should be included and what shouldn't be included.
Utah is not the only state where legislators and tax officials have tried to figure out how to deal with a changing economy. Phil Dean is the budget director and chief economist in the governor's Office of Management and Budget.
Most states that rely on a sales tax are looking at this. There are some states that do have a very, very broad-based tax. There are others that are looking at broadening their tax structure to include more services, because this isn't only an issue that we're facing here in Utah. This is a national issue that all states that rely on the sales tax are grappling with and figuring out, how do we align our revenue structure?
When the conversation moves from the general to the specific, that's when resistance comes up. The idea of taxing medical services, for example, isn't palatable to some legislators. There's also a long list of items that are exempt from tax, such as manufacturing equipment. The idea there is to tax the finished product rather than the means to make it. But rather than having a long list of what's taxable and what's not, Kristen Cox, Executive Director of the Governor's Office of Management and Budget, says it's important to include as many things as possible in that taxable category.
Let's start with, you know, everything in the base, because we know every entity is going to come out and say, you know, here's why I shouldn't be taxed. Here's why I'm different. Here's why I'm unique. We met with a group just last week, and they were talking about how this can be burdensome and the cost of compliance. But what they didn't mention is the other small businesses that are doing this exact same thing right now and having to bear the burden of the full cost of government. To Phil's point, we really don't want to pick winners and losers. And when one part of the economy is being taxed and another part isn't, we are, in fact, picking winners or losers. We're making one product more expensive or service and one product or service less expensive. But in this, we want to significantly reduce the rate. So if we can get everything in, then everybody will contribute and participate, but everyone will pay less.
Phil Dean says leaving things the way they are isn't really an option either.
If we don't do this, then the risk is that we're going to keep continually increasing the tax rate. Right, so the tax rate over time will continue to grow, and that damages the economy, right? So for the sectors that are in the tax base, that are contributing to bearing that burden, they're going to bear more and more and more and more of that burden over time if we don't address the fundamental underlying issue, which is that we have a sales tax base that's narrowing relative to the economy.
Broader base, lower rate. That sums up the tax modernization Utah's governor has made his highest priority for this legislative session. Utah Foundation is a nonpartisan, nonprofit research group funded by business, philanthropic foundations, higher education, local government, and individual donations. Founded in 1945, our mission is to produce objective, thorough, and well-reasoned research and analysis that promotes the effective use of public resources, a thriving economy, a well-prepared workforce, and a high quality of life for Utahns. Utah Foundation seeks to help decision-makers and citizens understand and address complex issues. Utah Foundation also offers constructive guidance to improve governmental policies, programs, and structures. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.